And we're going to begin with, first of all, if you're at the research log site and you have your notes ready, I'm going to suggest that in preparation, you go ahead and log into the site variety.com and get that ready also, perhaps in a separate browser window. You're going to need two browsers available, one to review the notes in the research log and one to look at sample sites as we move through the material that we have in front of us. I think the goal of this conference is to approach site diagnostic and the optimization of a web page in probably the shortest, most direct route to increased revenue. And I've divided the focus of how we'll spend our time into the two key areas that we typically engage in here within our own labs in the first stage of a significant site review. Now, there are questions at the bottom of your research log. And by the way, your research log, as you refresh from time to time during the conference, it will be updating from time to time in the conference with more information that should be available for you in terms of notes that are being taken by staff members as we speak, along with the prepared notes that are already there.
Did you say go to variety.com?
Variety.com, that is correct.
Oh, okay.
And you're going to want to have that ready. We're going to be looking at a secondary site. Also, we're going to focus our efforts on two different types of sites. Variety.com is a subscription site, content, and the other site we're going to be looking at is a retail site. Both of these are sites that achieve significant traffic and fairly significant results as well. We're going to look at that as we go through them. But we will basically try to answer this question, what's the most effective way to accomplish a site review or optimize the yield per visit in our site. Just this morning, one of the largest sites on the Internet, one of the most traffic sites on the Internet, contacted us saying that conversion is flat. We want to tear our site down. Can you come in and get involved with helping identify where the missing revenue is? I'm not saying we'll even do this. I'm only pointing out to you that if we had said yes to these guys, in the very first stages, prior to the 16 diagnostics that we've talked about and that are in our research log, we would probably go through the procedures that I'm going to outline for you right now. So then we would get in a more detailed analysis, and there's a series of about 16 key questions, 16 to 22, depending on how you count them, that we normally use in our more sophisticated second-tier optimization review, and that will be appearing in notes in just a few moments if it isn't already in your top of these research logs, those questions, and you can reference them later, along with some critical articles that are in there right now that you can reference later also, or reports from our previous research. So where do we begin? How do we take a site apart? How do we immediately try to find the shortest path to increase revenue? I'd like to break it into two parts and begin with the first stage right now. That is preliminary analysis. And so I'm going to outline for you four key steps that we typically go through in preliminary analysis that often identifies a lot of missing revenue right there. And then I want to apply those four steps to the two websites that we've selected for this conference. When we're done with preliminary analysis, we're going to look at a tactical analysis and find the top five ways to improve the tactical design of the site. Let's begin with preliminary work, and let's begin right now with variety.com. And if you have variety.com there in your notes, take a quick look at it, and then we're going to come back to that. You can use the back button, but I would suggest that, first of all, you go ahead and type in Alexa. That is a link that's already identified on the research log. As you scroll down, you'll see it in a link that's underneath something we call links to tools or sites that we will use today. The first link is Alexa, alexa.com. Some of you may already be familiar with it, but it's a starting point for us to get some idea as to how a site is doing. So I'm in alexa.com, and I'm going to assume that you are also. And I'm going to type in up there where it says search the web, I'm going to type in variety.com. There at variety.com or there at Alexa, I should see a page come up. I hope I don't need to hear from everybody, but are you following with me? Are we in Alexa, and did you type in Variety? Is somebody seeing the return results on Variety Magazine?
So you want me putting the Variety and the keyword?
Variety.com.
Variety.com.
Yes. Variety.com.
And go?
Okay, yes. And as you go there, a page will come back from Alexa, which is rich with information. Now, I want to say that I'm skeptical sometimes of Alexa's reporting. I know that it's inaccurate on our company, quite inaccurate. But in general, it's accurate because it takes a sampling from people who have its browser across the web, and then it interpolates the numbers that you see here. However, it is a very good benchmark, and in most cases, it's good. And in our case, we have such a distinctive audience, it's more difficult for it to work with our system. It tells me right away something critical for me to understand. It tells me that Variety.com, you'll see where it says traffic rank, is the 7,230th ranked site in terms of traffic on the Internet. Now, if I were to type in one of your websites, it might be 3, 4, depending on who's on this conversation. Some of you might be in the top 3 or 4, but others might be in the bottom 400 or 500,000. But 7,000 is a pretty high ranking, and that would tell you that Variety, you know, is getting a pretty significant amount of traffic, and there's a link there that will allow you to see traffic details. I think it's a good idea to see sometimes to look at any site you're reviewing, whether it's a third party that you're doing the work for or your own site, through the eyes of another program outside of your own analytics. And if you click on the traffic details, it will give you what it believes are accurate numbers related to your site, your reach per million users, ranking, page views per user, and page view ranks. This is information that's also used by third parties to rank your site in terms of credibility, and it's key information for you to know. So under a preliminary analysis, the first thing that our researchers would do, conduct a site popularity check. We would use, first of all, Alexa.com to give us some idea as to how well this site is being trafficked from third-party sources who monitor such activities. Once we had done that, we would then review the site and do a couple of interesting things. The first one is rather simple. How many of you, and I don't like need a direct answer on this, I guess, but most of you, are you familiar? Let me ask you this. Who is not familiar? Who does not use the Google toolbar on their browser? Can a few people speak up if they do not use Google's toolbar, which is something you download and automatically operates in your browser?
I don't use it.
Are there other people here who do not use it? I'm trying to see how familiar my audience is with the Google toolbar. Is there anyone else? I don't know if that means there are or there are not, but I would say the first next thing I want to do is I want to see the Google toolbar page rank. And if you don't have the Google toolbar, in our notes is a link that will take you to where you can download the Google toolbar. And if you don't see it yet, it'll be there momentarily. That will allow you to download it and use it. And using the Google toolbar, I can not only see what PageRank views this site as, which is Google's internal ranking of your site, but there's a much more interesting tool that I'll use, and that is to look here under Page Info in the toolbar is something that will track the link to this site. So I'm going back to Variety.com. You might want to do that. And at Variety.com, in terms of preliminary analysis, just understanding the site's popularity, I've looked at an Alexa. Now I'm using the Google toolbar. I'm clicking on page information on the Google toolbar, and I'm clicking on a sublink called Backward Links. At that moment, I see 2,430 backward links. To
where
the
is that? Can I find the backward link?
Under page.
If you under page info,
page
which
info.
Is a little part of the tools, you know, if you don't have the Google toolbar, it adds to your Explorer bar a menu.
Yeah, I have a page info, yeah.
All right, and under backward links, you will see, which is a sublink, you know, submenu, you will see a list of everybody that links backwards to this site.
Okay.
This is your own site. It's extremely effective, and first of all, from a marketing standpoint, it tells you who you might have as potential partners. One of the first places I look when I'm trying to determine a specific or a possible strategic partnership, for affiliates or some type of partnership offering is to see who's already been and linked to the site. There are more than 2,400 people, 2,400 other websites that link to Variety.com. By clicking on any of those, you can actually often trace the link and see what the reference is. This tells you a lot about your site. It tells you about the value of your content. It tells you about what your potential search engine ranking will be in the traditional search engines, and it gives you a strong eye on potential strategic alliances, not only from those who have linked to the site, but from those who have linked to the site, you can sometimes determine who your site is attractive to and who in that same business category you might want to approach if you were trying to, you know, do some type of co-marketing, some type of affiliate arrangement. Having said that, once I've looked at a site in Alexa and looked at a site with the Google toolbar, I move to the next thing, and you will need to use this link. It is under links to sites we will use today. You will click on that link. It's called TouchGraph. You can go to touchgraph.com, and you can graph your links. This is kind of an obscure tool that most people are not aware of, and it is absolutely fascinating. I'm going to take Touch. Are you keeping up with me? Are you finding the places in the research log, and are you at
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to type in now under in the touch graph there in that first inner starting URL it says, I'm going to type www.variety.com and the graphic. And as I'm graphing it right now, it will present for me a detailed schematic, looks like a spider web, of all the places linking to the site. And it is, if you click on Google related, the link there, it will also give you additional information that can help you. I find that a very useful tool in helping to understand some things about the design of a site. Because when you are trying to develop an effective website, one of the most important things is that it has strong linkability or appeal for links for bookmarks, because this is where much of your traffic comes from that does not cost you per click. And it tells you about the value of your content. And it's a number that if you monitor will start to show you whether or not your site is improving in its overall appeal or if there is a decrease in its appeal levels. So I would say that in preliminary analysis, step one, I would conduct, if you're taking notes there, a site popularity check. And that site popularity check helps me to first of all see if the site is already got some measure of effectiveness.
Can I ask a question for a second, Flint?
Yeah.
On this Google thing, I kind of lost you for a second. You said the Google toolbar enables you to go backwards and see who's linking to your site?
Yes, it does. You can download that by
visiting
Google.
That's why I wanted to.
Okay. Yes, that's what it will do, but it will do more than that. It'll tell you how Google views your site in terms of its page rank. And that has a lot to do with what your traffic is going to be. Because
so I type the site name into the Google search, and then I click page info?
No. And this is, for anyone that's not clear on this, all you do is browse to the site, and it'll automatically show you in the Google toolbar. You don't have to type into that bar up there. That's for searches. That's just for searching. That's just Google trying to get you to use their engine to search.
Oh, so then I go to the site, and then I click backward links?
If you want to view the links, but you can also look at what the page rank is, and that's right there in real time in a little graph at the top, on the menu bar.
Oh.
So if you've got more questions, if you get around there, you can play with it. I'm going to move on because of our time, but basically, once that's installed, it's all automatic. When you go to any site, it shows you their page rank, and you can click on page info and learn more about that page through Google's own system. This is a really valuable tool. So between Alexa, the Google toolbar, and the touch graph, you can have a quick idea of a site's popularity. Now, once I have done a site popularity check, I do something very important. I'd like to just point this out for a moment, its significance. Second stage in a preliminary analysis is to conduct a site compatibility check. What I mean by a compatibility check is that I want to know which browsers and browser resolution and operating system combinations are able to view my site correctly. I have seen many times that you can improve the results in your marketing without spending one penny on driving more traffic or changing any of your copy by simply making certain that that more people who come to your site are able to clearly see your offering. Some major sites on the internet are missing between 20 and 40% traffic and not realizing they have display issues. An average number may be 2 to 8%, but let's just suppose that you improve your site's compatibility by a ratio of 5%. Do you realize what that does to your conversion ratio? That means that the traffic that's coming to your site, automatically 5% more of them are able to see your offering, and the results are significant. And I would also go to say that apart from simple site usability tests, which I taught about in two web conferences ago, the site compatibility check is probably the most overlooked way to automatically improve the results of your site. In a moment, I'm going to show you a simple way to do that and show you what we discovered about Variety.com, and I'll also look at our second site in that same tool. So under preliminary analysis, I'm suggesting you do a site popularity check and you do a site compatibility check. Now, before I take you to a tool for that, before I talk to you about Variety, I want to point out that in the laboratory is a report on site compatibility that details exactly how to check, and it even goes so far as to tell you which, for instance, if your site doesn't display well in Mac, what that means in terms of how many viewers can't see your site, or in Opera, or in some other obscure browser, and it allows you to make smart decisions about what's worth changing and what is not. It also identifies for you the top errors that typically occur when it is not compatible with browsers. I would also say the difference, if you're a marketing guru on this line, the difference between a really good designer-developer and a talented artist is a good designer-developer on your staff will really run significant site compatibility checks to make sure that the work they're doing can be displayed in all possible combinations. Now, I'm going to move to a tool that will help you do that. It's called NetMechanic. There's a link to it in the research log. For those of you that do not have many different monitors and operating systems to test your site in, there's a simple tool that removes really the primary barrier for accomplishing this. It's called NetMechanic. They're a good group. We've used them for a couple of years. And we, apart from looking at things in our own various browser combination systems, we typically will run a NetMechanic check. Very simple. You go there, you pay a small fee. What is the fee, Sean?
It's $15 per session.
What a cheap way to determine whether or not your site is displaying properly. When you're done, it will send you approximately, 32 photos of your site. Is that correct, Sean?
When we log in, we're going to view actually two different photo sessions we've taken, and each session has 16 different photos.
Okay, and those photos represent 16 different combinations. And so we have 32 prepared for you. And in the end, let me check what I'm doing with my time to see if I want to actually have you log in. Yes. All right, let's go to netmechanic.com, and in the research log, you'll see a password. We're literally giving you our username and password for access to see.
Yeah, I'm using the service.
Okay.
But
okay.
There was NetMac Pro or Server Check Pro or Partner Program?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. I didn't understand that question.
I mean, what?
Which service?
Which service?
It says NetMac Pro, Server Check Pro. It's probably NetMac.
At the top of the screen, there's a login button. Just click on that.
Yeah.
No, what they're asking is there's under account name and password, there's a service. NetMac Pro,
I'm logging them there, yeah.
Okay. And you'll see account name that we've given you in the research log under instructions with it, Sean, 777 and password, you know, is there also, which is Beach, lowercase, Beach 2003.
Oh.
That username and password. And if you can't get in right now, it's okay. You can always go in for another 7 days. We'll have this up there for you to be able to access. Or another 5 days. Pardon me? And you should be able, if you can't go in now, you can use the research log to go in later. But it's going to show you a group of images captured on Variety.com and our second site, our retail site, which is Skateboard.com. And as you're looking at those images, it will show you what they look like in a series of different browser combinations. And what you'll find is that that information should help you to see whether or not a site is displaying as well as it should. Now, as you're looking, and I'll let you look at as much as you want on your own while I really get down to some practical information for you about Variety.com and about Skateboard.com. Variety.com, and you know, there is, bear in mind who you're dealing with Variety. They're, since 1905, probably the most influential leader in the industry when it comes to entertainment news. They're used in the trade publications. Many of you know that, if you've looked at our bio, that we have a television production group that produced, you know, primetime television series on the networks. And so I've used Variety. It is the Bible of the industry. I was just at a conference where the editor of Variety and I were both speaking, and they're a highly respected, very effective group. They're quite profitable. And some of the background information about them has been posted on the site. But despite this, when we study the browser photos, I find two things quite fascinating. Number one, they have display issues in Macintosh and in Netscape Navigator version 6.1 and in Web TV console and in Web TV. And I want to point out that all of those have an impact. And when you read the corresponding report that we have prepared on site compatibility, you can actually see what percentage of users they're missing with those problems.
And that that link to the article is at the bottom of these of this log, just for your information.
And to give you some idea of this information, you know, 5.549% of all users at the time we conducted this research were using Macintosh PowerPC, their operating system. And, you know, each one of these has their own. As far as browser combinations, and I'd like to point that out about Variety, their browser resolution, they have compatibility issues because of the 800 by 600 resolution that they are choosing for the display of their site. What that means is that on 47% of the computer users who visit their site, it's likely that they cannot see the site correctly, or at least all of the core content on their monitor, because the site is not optimized for the ideal monitor size, which at this current moment is 800 by 600. Cliff, do you have anything to say? Cliff is our chief designer. Do you have anything to say about that point?
Are you talking about what's above the fold?
Yeah, I'm talking about the primary screen that comes into their monitor, but I'm also talking about width.
Because I'm looking at 800 by 600, and I don't see a problem.
Well, according to the browser photos, in 5.5, 6.0, 4.7, and 6.1, they have issues in their browser display that make it difficult. And Sean, you went in and did the review on that. What are you saying? What would your comment be on that? What did you see when you looked at the sites in the browser photos?
Well, looking at the browser photos, I was able to see that a variety of key conversion points on the site aren't easily seen.
Can I interpret that? Meaning that the important objectives of the site that you want in the mainstream iPath, like subscribing or buying something or clicking somewhere are being missed in this browser combination, and it's costing them revenue and conversion.
Now, Flynn, can I ask a question here?
Yes.
What percentage of the people these days have Internet Explorer 5.0 or greater?
The most likely information to that is in the report that I mentioned to you on site compatibility, but I can tell you that that based on my latest research in terms of browser and 5.5, a significant portion of the population still is operating in 5.5, and I can't give you the precise number without turning to the report, which will take me just a moment, and I'm afraid that in doing so, I might hold up our users. But in my last check, it was 71.75% of the users were using 5.5. But those numbers are several months old, so there may be, you know, some increase in the 6.0 users at this. But it's quite significant and still remains quite significant, particularly with all the security errors and problems that 6.1 and 6 has had. I would also point out something else. Variety.com is an advertiser site. It's driven by advertisers. And candidly, most of their advertisers' banners are being completely missed by people with the 800 by 600 resolution unless they scroll over to look at them. And that affects, you know, 47% of their site traffic. Now, if you were to look at photos of skateboard.com, the browser photos of skateboard.com, you would see that it also has its kind of its own set of errors, and they're fairly comprehensive.
I don't get that picture anything.
Pardon me?
I didn't get any picture.
Seeing the picture, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Not sure I'm understanding your question.
No, I didn't get any photos. Okay, if I click skateboard.com, and then I start a new photo session.
John, are you seeing the photographs? Do you have any instructions that would help you?
There's a link, third link down from the top. It says view your photo sessions.
Yeah.
Click on that.
Yeah.
Brings you to another page. It says completed Tuesday, May 20th, and then there's a link right to the right. It says view. If you click on that,
bring
up all the photos.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. So we're identified from browser photos, problems with Macintosh iMac. These are listed in the research log. Photos number 4, number 12, PC with Windows, Netscape Navigator, and Internet Explorer 4.0, 5.5, 6.0, version 6.1, and Web TV. I won't continue, and I want to move on to another point. I'd like to just suggest this. One of the most important things that you can do when you're trying to improve the value or the performance of your own site is to get a look at it in the various browser combinations and operating system combinations that are being used on the Internet to see how much of your traffic is not really getting either a clear image or they're not getting the image that you need them to see in their iPath, e-links, etc. I want to move on and say that after we've done a test of popularity and done a quick analysis of site compatibility, we use two more tools that would be useful. One is, and Mr. Rayner, you're not on the line at the moment, but one is to use forums, because though you're looking at browser photos, you're not going to be told if your site is not functioning right, if, for instance, you have Java errors. One of the things that we do is we will post our site on a forum like Dreamweaver's and ask the Dreamweaver forum members if they're seeing any issues in their combinations of browsers from all over the world. And they're quite helpful in sending notes back to us that help us to understand, oh, it's not working. And we had this with an issue on our own site, and we discovered it wasn't working in MT, a new page that we had designed. And so we would have never known it because we use NT here also, but there was a combination of NT and a certain browser resolution that it did not display properly, and the forum was very effective to discover that. And it was not so much the look and view, which we would have missed with NetMechanic, it was the function of scripts. So I would suggest for us gentlemen, if I could that, number one, we go through the value proposition. I'm sorry, we go through after we've gone through the popularity check, we go through site compatibility, and then we go through a functional display check using the forums. And there's a link to the forum that we use, but it's primarily for people who use Macromedia or Dreamweaver for their site design. You may find other forums, but any place where you have an international community with various browsers that you can ask to look at your site for help, you'd find that sometimes that's a valuable way to conduct an instant international test across the web. Now, I would like to talk about the fourth thing under this preliminary work. Fourth thing is an HTML check. And the HTML check is really more than just that. But we use another tool most of you are probably familiar with, but don't overlook it. It's very useful in determining, before we ever get to the tactics of the site, is there a problem here? And that tool, there's several out there that do it, but in about 5 minutes of research, we discovered, for instance, on the, let's take the Variety site, there were 82 potential spelling errors. Now, they were not all real errors. Some of them were names and things. But there were 232 unset image tags, which meant they did not use the alt tag correctly. That there were possibly 29 different browser issues, much like those in NetMechanic, but this was identified by a different source. And those are not, you know, I have a list of each one so they can be verified to see if they're correct. There were 6 problems with their document structure, like open tags in their HTML code. There were 163 hyperlinks and a possible dead link. And at the load time over a 28x8.8 modem, and I would suggest that 56 is okay depending on your user type, but this is still an index, was 84.5 seconds, which means even on a 56K, the site is loading slow. It's a bit heavy. Those issues were immediately discovered in a handful of minutes by running the site through Dr. HTML, which is located at a link have in the research log. And it produced for me on Variety a summary, which I just read some key components of, and 23 pages of specific examples so that I could review each error and see whether or not it was legitimate or it was misread by this HTML Pro, you know, analyzer. Very inexpensive. And by combining the site popularity check, using Alexa, the Google toolbar, TouchGraph, by doing the site compatibility check with NetMechanic, and by using the forums, do a functional check, and by using Dr. HTML or a service like them to do an overall check and particularly look at HTML problems, before we ever sat down with a team of researchers to look at the site itself, we had gleaned, you know, probably 50 pages of very important, or let's say 40 pages of very important, useful information that helps us determine if there's a problem on our site, could be corrected before we ever do anything tactically. I consider this stage one or preliminary research when you're analyzing a site or preliminary analysis. And Sean?
Yes, sir.
The line that I just spoke of under this first point, I'm clearing you to go ahead and post that in our research log so people can go back and see these particular 4 steps under preliminary analysis.
Okay.
In a few moments, if you refresh your browser, it'll be added to our conference notes for today. I'm going to take some questions, and then I'm going to invest the next 20 minutes in the second portion of tactical analysis to identify the top 5 ways to find more revenue with a website. So, are there questions about what we've said so far? Okay. Let me ask you a question. I need some feedback. Is everyone clear on the information that we've presented? Is search log working well for you? Can someone give me feedback on that before I move to the second portion of this analysis? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. We're here.
All right.
We're just so mesmerized by all this good information.
Okay.
No, it's actually very good, to your credit. I mean, as usual, you've done a thorough job.
All right. Well, then I appreciate that. I'm going to move to the second phase, and this is where we're going to really look at these sites, two of them, and we're going to really ask ourselves, all right, what are the five ways to find revenue, the top five ways? You know, we're going to do a preliminary tactical analysis of the site, okay? So we'll begin by going to variety.com, and while you're there, I'm going to outline these five steps. Now, you're going to have to use your browser to and your back button, because I don't want to just show you what I would suggest as changes to Variety, but I want to show you samples of what it looks like when it's done correctly. All right. Top five tactical changes begins with our tactical review begins with the notes that we always look for, and the first one is an insufficient value proposition statement. Touched on this in the last conference, and I want to touch on it now with some explanation, and I'm going to move through all five of these and then come back and look at Variety. I will point out that the first thing is an insufficient value proposition statement. That's the very first thing I look for. Second thing I look for is insufficient email address capture. Third thing I look for is an insufficient or insufficiently planned IPath. Fourth thing I look for is an insufficient click appeal, and I will explain that's very important. And the fifth thing is insufficient credibility indicators. Now, I would complement these five keys with the notes I referenced earlier, the 16 or 22 questions that I normally ask about any website, and those are appended to your research log. But I would say that if a man is saying to me, I got 60 minutes, tell me how to make more money with my website, these are the five I look at first. I would also say that 50% to 75% of the missing money is right here within these five. Now, having said that, let's go back and let's work on them, first of all, with Variety. I'd like to make some simple observations about Variety before I apply the first one, the insufficient value proposition statement, to the Variety scenario. I mean, first of all, there's some things I would point out right away. Their color schematic is a non-performing color schematic in terms of research on what colors work on the net. And candidly, if you were to look at the greens and the contrast of greens in many browsers, they would be shocked to discover how ugly those colors may appear in browser various monitors. Monitors will interpret those colors in many different ways, and part of their problem with their site is their color scheme. If you want to know what some of the safe colors are, incidentally, there are certain blues, blue and yellow, blue and white combinations, not putting key information on a reverse background, meaning light on dark, but always having dark on light. I don't like serifed fonts. Those are fonts with the little hooks on at the tops and the bottoms, but serifed fonts are sometimes easier to read. And I could comment on lots of minor things about the site, like the color schematic, and my guys noticed many other things related to that. But I would much rather at this moment go to the five core issues, and they are, first of all, value proposition. Now, I want to point out that Variety.com can get away with having a poor value proposition statement in many cases because they are absolutely the dominant brand. But dominant brand or not, when I click on their site, there is nothing here that identifies for me why I should trust Variety over anyone else. And if you have a dominant brand and you lean on that as a crutch in your site design, you're making a mistake. And I would say that most of our people on this conference and most of our readers do not have, you know, a super dominant brand. So as I look at Variety, this applies very directly to them. Your value proposition, for those of you, my clearest definition of that is it's the reason why I should buy from you instead of anyone else. And it is the most compelling reason to stay on your website and review your offering. And if you can't make that statement in a clear, quantifiable, easy to believe, a declaration, I will not spend much time on your site unless you're fortunate. And so I must, as a marketer, craft a honest message that tells people why I deserve to live or exist in this market and why you should buy from me. And in Variety.com, I would love to say in their variety, in their statement, that for 101 years they've been ranked as the number one entertainment. I'm not trying to create their statement, but I'm just thinking, I'm leaning on their strengths. You know, they are absolutely the largest, and they've absolutely been at it the longest. And that crafted into a statement, probably all that I need to make me think that I should look at this site and pay more attention to it. And in your case, each of you should be able to answer me in a single sentence as to why I should buy from you instead of anyone else. And if you can't do that, and you do like many CEOs I talk to, and it slips into a paragraph, then I know that you haven't adequately thought through your business. Business plan that you can put on 34 pages is wonderful, but I want to be able to see the whole business plan on a 3x5 file card and know fundamentally why you should dominate. That you're on the list. So may I suggest that, how do you do this? Well, you can do it with a personal statement like welcome to Variety.com, and a literally a paragraph note with a personal digital signature from the publisher or the editor. That is always effective because it does more than simply communicate a value proposition. It communicates a connection between you and your audience, but it's not the only way. And for a retail site like skateboard.com or others, there may be some other way to do this. Let me show you an example. I want to go back to the one I showed you in the previous call, and it's, as a link, you can go there right now to etw.com. We'll only be there for like 35 seconds. But rather than using greeting text, etw.com created this neat, easy-to-read, little table that tells me why I should stop and shop there right now. Selection, 20 regional warehouses nationwide, and over 100,000 available products. Price, 25% savings off MSRP, which doesn't seem like a lot, but in that industry, they're typically the lowest price in their industry in 8 out of 10 products. Reasonable shipping rates with low delivered prices, and then look at their service. I mean, online order tracking and email confirmations, there's a tangible, not that we have great service, and 100% safe shopping with SSL security. I'd like to say that better, but I want to tell you that I have a reason right now to give them a second look. There's their value proposition. From warehouse to your house, I'm not sure it's the best value statement slogan. I like a slogan that talks about your value proposition, but what they're trying to communicate with that is that you're getting wholesale prices when they say warehouse to your house. And I tested the word warehouse along with and the word depot against many other secondary words, and depot scored the highest of all, and warehouse was second. Those two words were very important to communicate that somebody was buying at a good price. Highest testing word was depot. I will move on from them. Back to Variety.com. In fact, instead type in skateboard.com. Skateboard.com is a website in the retail sector. Obviously, they have the dominant URL, and they do well. Their site has lots of issues. And they do have something at the top that's intriguing. Order, receive, enroll. If you see it, we have it, and same-day shipping, guaranteed. Now, that's a strong statement. I don't know that it's the strongest, but it is a strong statement. I would have that as a secondary statement. My primary statement would be something like the over 3,000, I'm not sure their product number, but I think it's one of the largest on the Internet, and if it is, I would identify precisely, not 3,000, but 3,416 skateboards for you to select from. The oldest skateboard site on the Internet, 4.5 years, 6.3 years, with 3,417 skateboard designs, or something that tells me in a quantifiable number, hey, these guys are worth checking out. And that statement I would not just put on my homepage. I would put it as part of the template for any primary landing page on my site. It does you no good to optimize a homepage and then drive tons of traffic to landing pages like the pay-per-click engines that are not completely optimized with your core message. Your core message belongs on every page of your site. May I say that that the first thing then tactically is to make sure that you don't have an insufficient value proposition statement. And I would like to say that the very next thing, and probably one of the most capital crimes I see on the Internet, is an insufficient email capture. It will be insufficient for a number of reasons. Typically, at Variety, it's insufficient. Let's look at Variety. And at skateboard.com. It's insufficient at Variety because there is no good email capture in the IPath. There's nothing here emphasized to capture email address. And it's the number one thing I can accomplish if you do not order a premium subscription to Variety and pay for it. It gives me the right to talk with you. You need to talk with those people twice a month if you're going to continue to develop a relationship. And Variety, who is a subscription-based business and understands something about communication, in my estimation, in my opinion, and I may be wrong, making a colossal error here in not capturing email addresses more aggressively. They not only need to capture email addresses more aggressively, but they need at least two and possibly three ways to do that. And if you use a pop-up, according to our research, and you can see that report, it's on the research log, a link to it, a pop-up will capture 500% more email addresses than almost anything else. And in lieu of using an annoying pop-up, you can use a rollover JavaScript like we use on our site. Code is right there on the page if you need it. On our site's homepage, if you look at the source code. And that code will help you capture email addresses, and I would say it's a major problem here. Now, let me tell you another problem with email capture on this. Let's go to Skateboard. But even if you have a pop-up, and even if you have, you know, two different ways to do this, like a sweepstakes, what is often done is it's not a very good incentive. It's subscribe here to our tips and, you know, easing tips, or to our tip section, or our free tips and point and key points, or our, who cares? Nobody wants more email. You must give them an adequate incentive, the chance to win something, timely, urgent information, or how-to white papers with specific points, something that makes it worthwhile. I would also suggest that it doesn't matter whether you're a publisher or you're a retailer, you still need to capture email addresses. I would also suggest that its overall impact on your marketing costs is significant because you pay a lot of money to drive traffic there, and if you don't capture the email address and you have to pay again to get them back, you've thrown a lot of your marketing budget out the window. So, insufficient value proposition statement, insufficient email capture. Do you want to see what a good one looks like?
Where is this? Is it on your, the rollover pop-up email thing?
Yeah,
where is that again?
It's on marketingexperiments.com on our homepage.
On the homepage?
On the homepage, yep. You'll
the
see
regular, not the members page.
Right. Page. Side. Members, we don't. We've already got their address, so it only.
Right.
On the
because I guess I'm missing something. I guess if I have a problem, I'll email you or something. I can't.
When
find
you
it.
Slide over the headline, themarketingexperiments.com, it'll
right.
pop right up on the right hand side, and it's not a pop-up. It's a JavaScript, so it, Google doesn't disallow it, and it's very polite.
No, because when I roll over it, I just get the little tool thing.
You get a little tool thing.
I don't get it. I don't get. I'm on your homepage, marketingexperiments.com. Nothing pops up, even when I roll over things.
I know that I'm looking at it and it's working right now. Do you see the little box that's orange across the top?
It says marketingexperiments.com. Discover what really works. Home, current issue, lab login.
And when you roll your mouse over, it should pop up a little pop-up on the in the over to the right of that headline. That
when I roll my mouse over, what?
When your mouse slides over that headline, it should pop up.
No.
What is marketingexperiments.com? Right underneath search.
Right under. Oh, now I see something popped up. Okay. Oh no, the word marketing it came up. Wasn't coming up. I refreshed the page. Okay. So that rolls, that little box rolls up, so that, and that works as effectively as the regular pop-ups?
Well, I would say I can't tell you that it works as effectively because I don't have research to corroborate that, but it works quite well. And Google doesn't disallow it, and it's a great tool. And you can place it on more than one location. Let me move on to invite you to please visit infopia.com. It's on the research log, infopia.com. I have only a few moments left, you know, and I want to make them as efficient for you as possible.
Would you please repeat again? www.infopia,
I-N-F-O-P-I-A, infopia.com. Once you go there, infopia, I-N-F-O-P-I-A.com, and you back off of that site, like visit, you know, once you're there, you can like go to visit Google or something, you'll see something interesting happen. As you leave their site, if you haven't been there recently, because there's a cookie that will not pop it up if you've been there recently, an invitation will come up to subscribe to a e-zine, which incidentally is a version of our e-zine because they're a partner, and a very carefully crafted pop-up message will catch you on exit, not on entrance, and it's a good example of a pop-up that works quite well. You leave that, you'll see a little pop-up, and it will invite you to subscribe to the Infopia edition of the. While you're looking at that, I want to show you the coolest secondary way I've seen to capture an email address, and I think it's really worth going to. I'd like you to go to a site that's already on your log called hrnext.com. The director of this group and I just spoke together in a conference, and I was very impressed. He was talking about this on the conference. HRNext.com, if you go there.
HR?
HR. And again, the link is in the log if you have some confusion.
Okay.
You will see HRNext, and if you click on the HRNext.com table, on the right-hand side, there's a banner that says, Get HR Answer Tools Fast. Free trial. Click here. That's the one. No, that's not the one I'm... They changed it since yesterday. Hold on. Called the HR. Let me see if it comes up. Okay.
There's a tab for tools.
There's a. This is.
Oh, here. There's a banner that came up on the right. If we reload it.
But the banner is wrong. The banner that. I mean, it's not wrong.
It says get answers. Get HR answers and tools fast.
No. Yeah. That banner changed since yesterday. Hold on.
My browser doesn't work. The link is broke.
Oh, I see what happens. The banner rotates. If you down, if you the banner on the right hand side changes it. I'll give you
right.
What happens. Go to hrchallenge.com and you'll see what you'll bypass their banner and to go straight to what happens. This is a very effective tool.
HR Challenge.
hrchallenge.com. This is a site that sells a subscription to get and reports to get HR human resource information. And they wanted to capture more email addresses, so they created this quiz, people in the HR business.
Yeah.
And at HR Challenge, when you subscribe, they send you this, and there's a great pop-up, by the way, that you'll see associated. Some of you'll see the pop-up that comes up. This quiz is an amazing way to capture email addresses. They ask you each week a question. You get to answer it. And basically, over time, they track who is giving the most accurate answers. And the top five people across the country that answer the best are posted up there on their leaderboard. And what I find fascinating about this is that in their preliminary test to see how well, you know, this worked, they got these results. Let me share them with you. I'm pulling them up right now. The first time they did this, the first time they put this offering out there, their challengers grew in 3 months from 376 people to 21,775 people who in 3 months began playing this quiz game. It is now.
So they increased their email count from 376 to over 21,000?
This little tool right here.
In 3 months?
They now have 8 sites, and it is a very, very smart way to capture email addresses and a great example for you guys. So having said that, I'm going to move on to the third, fourth, and fifth. I want to say that one of the problems with Variety.com and a big problem at Skateboard.com is an insufficiently planned iPath. The iPath on the site is what you see first. It's very simple. It doesn't need to be complex. What you notice first, second, third, and fourth on a website, and that ought not to be an accident. When you design, you can use the size of an element, you can use the color of it, you can use the place that it's at on the page, you can use shape of it, or you can use its motion, like if it's in some form of motion, capture someone's eyes and their attention. Now, if the goal of this page is to get a subscription, then they need an iPath that clearly drives you to the primary objective of the page, and it just doesn't exist here. Your eyes are all over Variety trying to find where to look next. Skateboard.com not only has a problem with their iPath, but their graphic headers on the page are fuzzy, distorted, difficult to read, and will not appear clear in many monitors. An iPath, if you want to get a good iPath for your site, ask yourself, A, what is my site's objective? B, what are the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth elements they need to see on my site? Then take a page, print your page, look at the print primary elements right now, and weight them as to a percentage equaling 100%. I want, this is the 80%, this is the most important, or 70% most important. This is a 20% important. This is still all adds up to 100. And then use your five key elements to get your iPath to work. Let me show you an example of a site that is doing, I can't tell you the total because that would be revealing information, but I want to say they're doing thousands free subscriptions thousands of paid subscriptions every day. Go to bargain.com and look at their iPath. Now, I'm not saying it can't have more copy. I just want you to notice the iPath. If you're at bargain.com, you should see a pretty sufficient, a solid iPath. Incidentally, I'm going to log out here. I'm going to wrap this up within 5 minutes, so we're almost through this conference if you have another engagement. And Sean, can you please check for my next conference that may be waiting for me in the lobby, waiting for us for my next conference in the lobby?
Yes.
All right, back to this now. Are you at bargain.com? Anywhere you go on that site, they are flat driving you to their key component. I'm not saying a site has to be this simple, but the large graphics, the attractiveness, and the incredible clickability of their offerings and their buttons are one of the reasons why this site is doing so well. It is so clear. It is so clear. And if you come in on a different besides the welcome, if you come in on the auto page, click over autos, and you'll see that right away they allow you to search for autos. But in the meantime, look at that Join Now button. Which brings me to a major problem with Variety, and here's a good example of it done right. Do you see the click appeal of the Join Now button on the auto page of bargain.com? It screams click me. It screams it because it is rounded, it's dimensional, it looks like a button, it says 30 days free. And I don't mean your buttons have to be loud. It could still be an attractive button without that cartoon kind of feel and still be clickable.
Now, you think the left side is better than the right side for that button?
I think that it depends on where it's at. In this particular case, I think it's quite effective where it's at right there.
Because isn't it true in newspapers, people look to the right first?
Upper right.
Yeah. Newspaper. So I'm surprised they didn't put the button in the upper right.
But on web pages, people look to the left.
That you'll find here did someone else say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just talking about when people look on web page, first place they look is on the upper left, and their eyes travel to center.
The number one piece of real estate in a website is upper left, and then the center pane. But if you'll notice that the Join Now is right next to where they're typing in autos for sale by price and by model. So it's right underneath their nav. I think it's a very effective location.
Has anybody ever done anything where they literally set it up so all the white space on the page, any place you click, for instance, in this case, you would go to the Join Now screen?
Roy, I think it's a very good point. I know of no research like that. It'd be interesting to engage in that.
Talk about an objective.
Yeah, that's true.
Every place, unless you click on a specific link, you go to the join now.
Oh, you say any link or any white space?
What I'm saying, no. Regular links are just like the page would look like this, okay? Except with this white space, you set it up so if you click on anything that doesn't look like a link, you know, with the white space, it takes you to the join now.
You could do that without page weight issues. That would be the key.
Yeah.
Look, if you would, at Variety. Do you see free trial upper left? Subscribe at variety.com. They have a button there for a free trial. Sign up today. They get points for visibility because it's there in the upper left in the key piece of real estate. But I want to tell you that the color register for variety.com on blue is very difficult to read. And you may see it in your monitor clear, but in many monitors it will not be clear. And I want to say to you that it doesn't look like a button. It doesn't say click me. It looks like a banner ad.
I was going to say, it also gives you absolutely no reason. Why do I care if I get a free trial?
No, it does not. And it is costing them significant dollars right now, today. And if they made a simple change, they would see an immediate improvement in conversion ratio, or at least that's what I project. So I want to say, under first stage tactical analysis, the top five ways to find more revenue, I look at insufficient value proposition statements, insufficient email capture, insufficient IPAT, insufficient click appeal, and insufficient credibility indicators, which I do not have time to go into except to say that a properly designed site will be laced with third-party credibility, as in testimonials, as in certifications, as in rankings, as in awards. And they should be placed at the strategic leverage points where people are being asked to trust you or make decisions. Having said all of that, to wrap up this portion, I want to open the last minute or two for any questions. Does anyone have questions about what we've discussed this time?
Dr. McLaughlin, could you do a favor? I've lost all my connections over here off this. This is Scott Charters. Could you add all of the different links that you folks have talked about that was not in the original document off of your site so we go back and review those at a later time?
Yes. I believe almost all are there, and if they're not there yet, they'll be there. And Sean, I'm clearing you to also add the second stage of the outline.
And again, they just needed to push the refresh, and it's updated real time.
All right. So if you refresh, you'll find this page updated with more information. May I ask you, have you found this version of the conference, based on our learning experience from the last conference, helpful? Can I get some feedback on if you found this last hour productive?
Well, I found this one to be a lot more productive because we went so much further into the sites themselves. We didn't get stuck into smaller discussion groups. I think we get a lot more information this time on an hour, a little bit over an hour spent than we did on the very first one. So I think it's going to be something that just, you know, you guys have to control so much that it's almost bing, bing, bing. Here's how we go to this site, this site, this site. A lot of the stuff could be done better if you had all the links up there prior to us. So in case somebody didn't catch it, they can click on it without having to ask you again how to spell and all the different things that happen.
I
That's
think
my
the links are all up there. Is this Scott?
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
Scott, all the links should be in there.
Ones that you were talking about, like the VTET, I couldn't see that one. I didn't see some of the other ones that were on there. But then again, I lost my connection, so I haven't been able to look at anything about halfway through on this.
You should find, if you're looking for the links that we went to as examples, there's a heading up there called Example Sites that should have all of those links. And then if you look for the tools, there's another link up there that says tools that we'll be using today, and it should have everything like, touch, graph, and Google and stuff in there.
Okay. All right. I'll go back and take a look on
if
that.
If it doesn't,
I apologize
if it
was there and I missed.
No. Just please email us if it doesn't, though. That's the only reason I point that out, so that I can make sure that it's right. On our end, we're seeing them, but who knows? On the internet.
Yeah. Well, I have one comment is if you can give this email earlier, like even 2 days earlier, then we can go through first, and then then it would be easier for us to follow you, because I had a hard time to follow you.
Okay, that's good. That's good feedback.
Now, how long are you going to leave this page up, this research page?
This is in our research log, and that log is being updated day after day. It'll be in there. It'll remain in there. What may not be up is your site compatibility. Those are only maintained there for 5 days, but this research log page, you should be able to access at any point.
Oh, okay. I think, by the way, Flint, this was just an excellent presentation on your part.
I appreciate that, guys.
I think it covered a lot of good things, and it was really well organized and just really first class.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. All right, well, I may be, if you have ideas for how you'd like to spend the next web conference, feel free to email us on that. Also, we may be doing one completely on email capture with examples, samples, and a much more detailed look at how to capture the most email addresses and what to do with them. We're thinking about that. Also, our next major issue, our next major experiment we're releasing data on is Google PageRank. And anybody here that has useful information, good or bad experiences with Google PageRank, please feel free to send us information. We may contact you for follow-up or anything, useful links, anything you have that will help us to do a better job for our readers, please let us know. But be watching for that. Our primary research is done, and we're basically just now editing the final report that we're going to be releasing that will help you to get the highest possible rank in Google, which is where the game's at right now, since Yahoo just bought, you know, AltaVista, and there's just not very many places outside of the pay-per-click engines that a high rank is going to make any difference. And Google is still, it's the powerhouse, and it's the game you want to go after. So thank you very much for attending today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your input, guys. We really do, we value it. And we'll all keep pressing on together. Okay?
Thank you.
You guys.
And
thank you.
Tomorrow you will receive a link to the WAV file, just, you know, by email for this conference.
Yeah, our friend that said he had some trouble keeping up, you'll be able to listen to this again and glean from it any information that you'd like with the WAV files that we'll be posting. Thank you. Take care.